you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and I want to give a shout-out to my co-host, Patrick Ernst, who didn't make it today. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., that's PACTSINC, and PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their PAX Inc. website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, their codes of conduct, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get more involved. And if you hover your mouse over that learning center, you're going to get a drop-down box with a whole bunch of resources that you need to take advantage of, from audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, and videos. Once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, you already know you need to visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, that we can learn more about myself, Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and Queen Candace, who are all the hosts of our wonderful podcast that we got on this wonderful network. And remember, March 7th, we're having our live podcast here in Tallahassee, Florida. If you're in the area and you feel like you need to be cool in life, you need to come check out our live podcast, because it's going down March 7th at 6 p.m. There's a few tickets left, so make sure you get your tickets so you can be in the building. Now, today, this, for me, this is an interview that I want to do for a long time. So I've been watching this young lady. I remember the first time I met her, I was on FAMU campus doing some work for my day job, and I saw this young lady whipping this big old bus on the set. Like, if you don't know nothing about FAMU, you need to get your mind right. But as we have our hangout spot, the set, and it's like a one-way, a little, they try to make it two-way, but it's really one-way. But I just see this young lady whipping this big old bus, and I'm like, well, damn, she's driving that thing. But then I started paying attention to what she was doing over the years, and she's an entrepreneur. She has a background in journalism. She is into fashion. She's into beauty. She's into making sure that she's empowering her community, empowering the women and the men that she works with, and just make sure that she's doing her thing in the community. And we want to make sure that we show her some love over at the Freedom Train Network. So I want everybody to put your hands together for the owner of Novus Racks, the person who is the mind behind Thrifty Thursdays on the new Black News Channel. Give it up for Miss Chelsea Collins. Y'all make sure y'all make it happen.
Wow, that was a great introduction.
I appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. And like I said, I've been paying attention to you for a while. And it's a long-awaited interview for myself, because I see you out here doing your things. I want to share my platform and share my audience with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you asking me to come and be a part.
No problem. So I want you to give some background information about yourself, but also, how did fashion and beauty become something that you kind of fell in love with?
Fashion and beauty has been something that I've always been involved with. When I was younger, in middle school and in high school, mm-hmm. I would always, you know, go shopping with my friends. At the time, I didn't realize why they was always asking me to go shopping right. with them. But, you know, my friends would be like, well, I got this coming up, or let's go shopping so we can get ready and find something to wear to this party or this event. And then as far as just the beauty industry as a whole, I went to nail school at 16, so wow. I was going to regular high school, okay. then at night for a few months, I went to nail school, and then I got my nail license. In my first summer of college, I went back to technical school, and I became okay. a full specialist, okay. and that was just something that my sister was like, you need to do, because when you get up in school, you need to be able to, you know, yeah. pay for your own
there
stuff.
You
so she was like, I'll pay for you to go to school. Well, she paid for my nail school.
Right.
So she was like, that's
good.
An investment
that's
for
good.
You so that when you get to college, you can pay your own stuff.
Right. Now, that's good. So basically, you said it in a humble way, but you've been a boss for a long time. You've been doing, but that's good, because we promote that stuff here. Like, we want to make sure that people understand, like, because it's not easy getting where you are. You put in a lot of hard work. So at the age of 16, you had the mind to say, let me go and get this technical license to do nails.
Right.
So, like, were you intimidated at all by the other people in the scene, or you just had the mindset of, I'm here to get what I need to get, and I'm going to establish myself?
No, I mean, I was definitely intimidated. Even my friends were, I would take my nail books to school, to right. regular high school, and people would be like, what is she doing? Because I, you know, knew I had to study for mm-hmm. that as well as study for my, you know, regular high school right. classes and things of that nature. But it's never easy. I remember telling my sister that, you know, I want to quit, you know, it's too hard, but everything is hard.
Right.
And that was just, you know, one of my early challenges, you know, that I had to face and kind of get over and just understand that in order to get something right, you have to first get it wrong
yeah.
and sometimes
yeah.
get it wrong a lot of times.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's great. See, because that's a new part of what you bring to the table that I'm learning. So you are very multifaceted. That's great. So when college come around, because you have the mind of an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and with that type of mind, that type of spirit, you don't cage that. You help nurture it. So when it comes to college, you end up going to the world's greatest HBCU,
yes.
which is Florida A&M. But you majored in broadcast journalism. So how did you end up at FAMU, and how did you end up majoring in broadcast journalism?
Well, I ended up going to college because I wanted my own room. I didn't grow up with any type of privilege,
right.
and I share a room forever,
okay.
and I'm just like, okay, I got to get out of this city, I got to, you know, go somewhere, and my high school boyfriend at the time, he ended up going to FAMU,
right.
so I was like, okay, that's where I'm going to try to go, because that means I get my own room,
right.
and I get to be, you know, close to my boyfriend.
Right.
So that was, you know, and I just knew, too, like, I wanted something more and something better. And my sister was the first person in my immediate family to go to college. So
okay.
she graduated from Florida State. So I knew, even though I really didn't know what college was all
right.
about,
right.
I just knew I had to go there.
Right. Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, that was the biggest thing for me. I always loved to write, and so I knew, like, journalism, I never questioned that. I always knew that I was going to major in journalism, but I didn't really always know where it was going to take me.
Right, right, right. So how do you think that background of broadcast journalism has helped you so far? Because now we are going to talk about your live broadcast that you have, but leading up to that, how do you think, like, the skills and some of the information that you learned as a broadcast journalism student helped you as the entrepreneur that you are today?
Oh, my goodness. Everything that I've done, everything from nail school, from being a student at FAMU, from working in the news industry has helped to give me the tools that I need to thrive. Working at a news station after I graduated from college, I worked as a news producer,
mm-hmm.
and I worked a midnight to 8 a.m. shift in the
morning. Wow.
That was tough by itself. Like, yes. I tell you, I was depressed just off of the hours,
right.
but I knew that I had committed to this job
mm-hmm.
in these hours, and so I stuck with it. It would be plenty of days. I would sit in my car before, because I did not go in. Even
right.
if I got there at 11:45 a.m., I was like, I'm not going
so
in until midnight. That's how you know you don't
yeah,
like your job.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know you don't like your job when you sit in the car
yeah.
and wait to go
counting
in.
A minute.
Right. And so I would be sitting in my car like, Lord, please, I'm counting the days for this to be over. But there were parts of it that I loved, just being able to lead a team
mm-hmm.
at the time, especially I was new. And so as a producer, you are the base, you are the brainchild of that show that you're
okay.
putting together. So I had to learn how to lead these people who had been in the industry for a longer period
right.
of time. And being a creative, there were things that I gave myself 6 months and I learned the basics. But then after that, I was like, okay, let's change this. Let's move
mm-hmm.
that. Like, let's try all these different things. And they were just so content at the time with keeping everything the same
right.
and basic. So I came in and, like, stirred the pot
mm-hmm.
a lot. And so I had to convince them, and they had to believe in me about the visions that I had, even just for that show. So
right.
even though it was a very depressing time, I wouldn't change
right.
that experience.
No, because when, like I said, when we think about you, when we see you, it's fashion, it's beauty, because that's how we have been introduced to you through Novus Rex. So learning that you have this journalism background, for me, once again, that's another layer of greatness, because I just feel like we have to learn so many things from different areas of life and kind of put it all together, and then you just mold yourself within that. And it's original, but it's something that's built over time, and that foundation is needed. You don't have a good foundation, it's gonna fall over. So, all right, so you go from sitting in your car counting your minutes, because I've been there, trust me, I've been there. I used to sometimes, for my job, just be late. I'm just gonna be late, right? But you already have that entrepreneurial spirit. You're doing something in your field that you graduated from school, but you have this mindset of, I know it's something bigger, something better for me. So how did you transition out of working for somebody or working in broadcast journalism to doing what you're doing now, to starting Novus Racks?
When I left the news station, you know, they had offered me some other, they were like, well, what is it that you want to do? Like, they were like, pick a job here,
right.
You know? And so I was just like, no, I just knew that wasn't for me. But thankfully I had, you know, my technical skills in nails that I knew, like, okay, if all else fails, I can always fall back on that.
Right.
And people, you know, don't, I guess they're just unaware of how fast and how, you know, good the money can be in that industry. So even before I took my job in news,
mm-hmm.
I was making that salary, what I was making as a salary, I was making in college.
Wow.
So I was just like, well, for me to just go back to doing nails,
yeah.
That's like,
right.
You know,
so
nothing.
You
yeah, I was like, that's nothing.
Good.
I was like, I might as well just go back and at least, you know, I would have more flexibility,
right.
And I would be a little bit happier. So that is, you know, it was just a no-brainer for me. Even though I really didn't have the concept of starting a business, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was like, doing this is not going to happen.
No, but I love how you put that together, because one of the main things I try to do is make sure the story is clear, like your story is clear. But one of the main things is you put yourself in a position to win early on as a 16-year-old. You learned the skill that nobody can take away from you,
mm-hmm.
And you're not tied down to your job. You're not job scared. And when somebody's not job scared, for one, that makes them a better employee, but also they take less junk from their employers. And if somebody puts you in a position that you don't want to be in, well, since I don't want to be in, I'm not going to be in. So that's what I do enjoy about what you're telling us so far about yourself, is you put yourself in a position to win, to be able to capitalize on the talents that you have, and you're not waiting on somebody to give you an opportunity, because you have to create your own opportunity.
Right. And I think one thing, too, that is very important is if you are taking a job, or if you have that entrepreneur mindset, when you take a job, it's not always about the money. It's
right.
About the lessons
right.
That, you know, either the company can teach you or what you can go in there and show and prove and just how you can enhance your skills and abilities.
Right.
But that has always been, you know, my number one focus.
Right. So now you are literally a fashion pioneer here in Tallahassee.
Thank you.
Well, the first personal styling and private shopping boutique, which is called Novus Racks. That's you. The first. You're innovative. You're the person who weed whacked your way through the bushes, and you make the path for others to come behind you. So specifically, what drove you to start Novus Racks? And why did you name it Novus Racks? And when customers come to your boutique, what type of experience do they go through?
Okay, so the first question is what prompted me to start Novus Racks. And it was because I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. At the time, I was working in a nail salon in Destin area. And these two women owned it, this salon. And it was literally 260 square feet. That is so small.
Right.
And then I saw what they were able to do with this small space.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you know, the sky's the limit. So then I met, you know, my business partner, and we started brainstorming, and we were like, well, I always knew that I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be able to say that, hey, I was the first to fill in the blank, whatever. And then fashion, like I said, has always been something that has come easy to me. And even now, there are so many things that I know about fashion and beauty that I just think for some reason that other people in the world just know, and I'm learning that, no, like, this really is your gift. This is something, a bunch of information that you have and that comes easy to you and that you can share with other people and help enhance their life.
I'm not a fashion person. I just try to make sure I match, make sure I'm not wrinkled and I match. So my fashion, like, I don't even think that part of my brain even works right. So when I look at people.
Well, we're going to have to get you a styling session.
That's what I'm saying. There we go. Because I've just been honest. I know how to match. But all the other stuff, nope. But the beauty in that, the artistry in that, a lot of times I don't think people give it the credit that is needed, because especially like as black people, fashion and looking good, like that's historical. We've always done that. We've always put our best foot forward. But for you to take these ideas and make a complete business out of it, like what were the thoughts going through your mind at the time when you were like, okay, I have this idea, Novus Rex, I have this business partner, we have everything that we want to do. What thoughts were going through your mind, like, the very first day you're going to kick off the grand opening of your business? Were you excited? Were you anxious? Like, what?
The grand opening was fun. It was a lot of fun, but I try not to get wrapped up in too much into celebrations, and I felt like the grand opening was a celebration. Right. I was thankful, you know, that my family and friends were able to come and see something that, you know, they may have heard me talk about, you know, actually come to life. But I'm like, okay, now I have to figure out how to make money off of something that I have, you know, sold everything that I have to invest in. I have put, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into this. And now I really, because I'm the first person doing it in this small city, I have to figure out how to make it work.
Right.
And so that has been the biggest thing, because there's not really anyone that I can turn to and say, hey, what do I do?
Right.
How do I do it? And, you know, there's so much to learn, and there's so many mistakes that I have made, so much money I have lost.
I understand.
And, there's definitely some changes, you know, with the business now that are, you know, taking place, and it's evolving.
So how many years have you been in the business?
Two
years, and you're still standing, you still drive around your city and in your unit, making sure that people are styled, because I would just see you in random places. Like, I'm driving on my lunch. I'm like, this girl out here getting me. Like, I got to get on my podcast. She's out here doing her thing. So, in your opinion, why is the fashion and beauty industries needed? Why are the industries needed? And how does Novus Rex help enhance the essence of the fashion and beauty industry?
So the first question you asked is, why is fashion needed?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe that, you know, your appearance, even though we try to act like, you know, we're not so hung up on appearance, our appearance is everything. You know, that first connection before you open your mouth, someone's going to make judgment on you. And during job interviews, you know, if you're a business owner, you want to make sure that the connections that you make are valuable. You never know when you're going to meet that person who can invest into your business, or somebody who you might be able to employ you for that job you've been looking for. So you need to stay ready, so you don't have to get ready, because you never know when that opportunity is going to come. And as far as Novus Rex is concerned, just overall, the whole goal is for it to provide convenient shopping.
Mm-hmm.
The fashion industry, the way people shop is changing.
Okay.
You know, their stores are closing down left and right. So it's to be ahead of the shopping trends, and to provide a service more so than anything for, you know, people who either don't like to shop, they don't have time to shop, or they just don't know what to
put
on.
Right. Well, yeah, because I hate shopping. Like, I hate shopping. If I have to shop, I just want to be a quick list. I want to know exactly what I'm going in to get. And if I can't find it, and like, the time I want to find, I get frustrated and I'm like, I feel like quitting. But for me, I think something like enhancing my shopping experience would be a great deal to get me to do it more. Because like I said, I just go in, it's boring, it's not fun. I know I need to get necessities. But you're saying offering a whole experience when it comes to shopping. So is that, like, what's the, I guess I would say, what's the inspiration behind you knowing that you need to create an experience versus people just come in and just buy some things, just all bland and leaving? Like, what made you really understand that people's experiences help them come back and really, I guess, make them enjoy shopping more?
Well, for any business, you don't think about yourself, you're thinking about the customer. Mm-hmm. So I was always thinking about, well, okay, how can I make the customer's life better?
Right.
And I listen to people, even, you know, when they come on the bus, I'm just constantly listening to people and their shopping experiences, whether it be online or in the store. And I know what it is that 9 out of 10 people are looking for, their struggles. Like you said, it's either people are ordering things online and it doesn't come in on time.
Right.
When it does come in, it doesn't fit, or the quality isn't exactly what they thought it would be. So it's merging, our services is merging that gap between, you know, what's on the web and what needs to be on your body or in your closet.
Right. That's what's up. So I want to ask this question from the perspective of you being a black woman who's an entrepreneur. So as a black woman business owner within the fashion and beauty industries, why is the presence of Novus Racks and other black women-owned businesses important in your opinion?
So one is to just show women that it's possible to take something from your imagination and bring it to life. And that was very important even for my family, because in my family, we don't have any entrepreneurs, you know? And so just to show them, like, hey, I had this idea about making a bus boutique, and them being able to see it, and for other people to be able to see it, shows them that, you know, anything is possible.
Right. Because I didn't know about the documentary until you told me about it, but she did that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking you need to be in that documentary.
Oh, seriously. Up there.
Look, they are, but you are as well.
Oh, well, thank
you. But seriously, because being able to bring what you brought to reality, like you really had something in your mind you brought to reality, but also you have many different skill sets that many different ways you can make money. Like, you're a real entrepreneur. You're not like one of the people who just talk about it. You're a real entrepreneur. But in watching that documentary, some of the women I knew about and some of the women I didn't know about, but to me, it was, I've always been on the bandwagon of supporting black women businesses, but it'll give other men, from my perspective, other men the light to see, okay, black women out here doing this thing, let me support them. But just people, period, this representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see black business owners, black women business owners in many different types of businesses, to me, that was important and powerful. So I appreciate you telling me about the documentary.
Oh, I'm glad you watched it and that you enjoyed it. Yeah, it was something that's motivational for me. Like, that's something I can just watch 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times when I feel discouraged. And that's a part of entrepreneurship is discouragement. But you have to be able to shake it off and keep on going.
Right. But it's just, you know, like you say, being able to find that inspiration from those people, but their stories as well,
mm-hmm.
realistic stories from real people, because these are real people. Sometimes we like to over-dramatize things, but these are real people who were able to build things. So for you, how do you feel when, or have you had so far, people come up to you who been inspired by you or who've seen your rap and just come up and say, hey, look at what you're doing? So you mean to tell me I can do something like this? Have you had those moments yet?
Yeah, I mean, especially when, like, right after the grand opening, people were just like, wow, you know, I had this idea too.
Right.
And, you know, I never followed through with it. And let me tell you, entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
It's not.
It takes an enormous amount of discipline. So if you find yourself saying, like, okay, I'm going to, even something small, like, I'm going to drink more water.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how to set goals and, you know, stay disciplined with those small things, it's going to be very hard for you to stay disciplined with something big. But that doesn't mean give up. That just means you need to reflect on the things that you need to change and the habits that you need to change within yourself.
Right, yeah. Everything's not going to go the way you need
it. No, it is not.
Like, yeah, we had to learn a lot with this podcast, but we started with 2014, and it was bad.
Oh, wow.
It was bad when we first started. I'm talking about bad background noise.
That was a long time ago.
Because we like to talk, me and my co-host, we like to talk, and we just, a long time ago, all right, let's just do a podcast. I really had no idea what a podcast was, and we had a gentleman come in, and he ripped us a new one, but it was all in love because he taught us how to do this. And it's just like sometimes, you know, you need that.
Yes.
You need somebody to help guide you. You need to bump your head. But if you don't sit back and really learn from what the mistakes you made, you're going to keep going over and over and over.
Right.
So speaking of that, what has been the greatest lesson that you've learned thus far? As far as in your whole entrepreneur journey, what's the greatest lesson that you've learned?
What is my greatest lesson? To have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And to not let what other people think determine the decisions that I need to make.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, my mom used to always tell me, they talked about Jesus, so they don't talk about you.
Exactly.
And I think recently that, and too, with business, not to make decisions based off of emotion.
Yes.
It's like comes down to numbers.
Yeah.
And so there's so many people who are like, oh, I want to start a business because I really like food. And it's like, okay, you really like food, but what does that have to mean?
Right.
It's not about you.
Right. Right. Are you good at providing food? Are you
right.
Good at
what is it that they want? That,
right.
That your target market, you know, you might say you like to cook vegan food, but if your target market in the area that you're trying to start your restaurant in is looking for burgers and french fries,
that's
not what they want.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you can't, you may not be able to change what the people want around mm-hmm. you. So it's just not about you.
Right. Nah, that's real. That's real. So what would you say has been your the greatest hurdle that you've had to get over so far, and how did you get over that hurdle?
Oh, I'm going through hurdles every day. Every day.
I
see. I'm constantly, even right now, trying to figure out how to balance all of the things that I have to do, because I still work in a salon,
mm-hmm.
and then I, you know, there's so many things that I have to do in order to run a business. So, and then I still want to sometimes have a personal life.
Exactly.
So it's about, I'm constantly trying to balance all of these things that I have going on, and I honestly don't have an answer to it.
Right.
It's just, you know, things get easier as time goes.
That's like one of the realest answers we've ever had on this podcast. I appreciate that. No, but because everybody who listening, who watching, this is real life stuff. This is real things that entrepreneurs go through. So that's like the realest answer we've probably ever had on here. Because, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're still here shows a testament to your strength and your dedication to your dream and living the life that you want to live. So,
well, thank you. I don't see no other option.
Right.
There's no other option for me.
Right. So, once again, you bring a lot to the table. So, digging into your broadcast journalism background, you now have a live broadcast that you do called Chaotically Chic, and it's a monthly interview show?
Yes. So, the name of my Facebook group, my little tribe, is Chaotically Chic, and it's fashion and beauty tips for men and women who live hectic lifestyles.
Okay.
But they still want to look black.
Right.
So, yes, once a month, I go live and I do some type of styling and fashion tips. I have one, you know, coming up where it's a sip and styling for springtime fashion.
Okay, and when is that date and time?
That I will be going live this Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Okay, Tuesday at 8 p.m. All right, so make sure you check it out. So tell us more about the show. Like, who do you, are you interviewing people? Like, are you going deep into fashion? So when somebody tunes in, they have some kind of idea.
To see the show, you have to request to join the Facebook group.
So
you can search Chaotically Chic on Facebook under groups. And then I share things every day. I share, you know, other women who I think are fashionable. I share beauty tips. I share on Thursday, Thrifty Thursday tips. Mm-hmm. And so I like to share things that are affordable, but that still works. And so it's just sharing everything that I know from the beauty and fashion industry. I'm just sharing it with the people that I follow. But as far as the live show is concerned, I pick a co-host every month, and it just depends on how I'm feeling. Like this month, the lady that I'm interviewing, she works for, she's a manager of a boutique. But she also is a entrepreneur, and she wants to have her own mobile wine bus.
Okay.
So she's going to be teaching me about wine because
right.
that's something that I love,
that's
but
good.
I'm just not that educated on it.
Right.
So,
that's cool.
The opportunities are endless. It just goes, depends on how I feel, who's co-hosting with me
right.
that month.
Now, but once again, though, that's you using all of your creativity to create lanes for yourself, because you're going to help a lot of people as far as your fashion, your tips and beauty tips, because you can make them look good in many different ways. I see you now.
Well, thank you.
So that's also blossomed into Thrifty Thursdays. When I first saw the post that you posted from the first time that you did your Thrifty Thursdays on the Black News channel,
yes.
I'm like, oh, shoot, now I see you. So how did that all come about? How did you end up having your Thrifty Thursday tip session on the Black News channel?
Well, it started with me doing some marketing on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Because I was like, I knew the Black News channel was coming. I'm like, these people going to need some clothes. They're going to need some styling. So I went and was messaging them and just asking them, you know, hey, if you need any assistance.
Right.
And they were like, you know what, can you come to the studio? And so the first time I did something was on Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. and I did some tips for, you know, fashion and things for that day. And they were like, we want you back. Like, we want you back every month. And so they messaged me and were like, hey, you know, do you have any availability to come? And I said, well, I do this thing on my Facebook group and on my social media called Thrifty Thursday, so I can just take my tips and mm-hmm. bring them to the show. And they were like, we love the idea. So every month, it may not be Thrifty Thursday on the Black News channel every month, but
right.
every month I will be on the Black
right.
News channel sharing some type of fashion tip.
Well, hey, that means you are still doing your thing. That's what's up. I'm very proud of you doing that, for putting yourself in that position.
Thank you.
Taking advantage of it, full advantage. That's amazing. So if you had the choice, if you could pick like two or three celebrities or just people from history or whoever, if you had your choice to just style or be the consultant for one or two people, who would be your like dream people to style?
Oh, wow. That is a tough question. I would say I love Tracee Ellis Ross.
Okay.
So she's definitely somebody that I would love to work
that
with.
That would be fun.
Oprah.
Yeah.
For sure. And Kris Jenner. You know, people underestimate her, but she is some more. And she is a marketing guru. So while I'm styling her, I would be like, okay, sis, can you tell me, give me some ideas too?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
nah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool list. That's what's up. So there's a growing there's a growing number of black women entrepreneurs in America. You're one of those black women who are starting businesses. What type of legacy would you like to leave for yourself, your family, and black women who will come behind you?
Well, the legacy that I want to leave for my family is generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And for other women, I want to leave, a company that,
right.
You know, maybe one day is publicly traded and, something. I don't really know what God really has in store for me, but I know it's something bigger than myself and bigger than I can even imagine sitting here right now.
Right.
And I just, continue to pray and just ask him to lead me and to do his work. So I hope to, maybe for other women to see that and to know my story and to not give up on their dreams and aspirations.
That's good. So if you had a chance to talk to, let's say, 10-year-old Chelsea, and you get a chance to give 10-year-old Chelsea some advice, some life advice, some tips for the future that could help her be ultra successful, what type of advice would you give, your 10-year-old self?
10-year-old self. That's a hard one. I would probably say, I can't even say work harder,
mm-hmm.
but I would honestly probably tell her 10-year-old self to work harder. But I was a very hardworking
right.
kid. Or maybe not work harder, but work smarter, not
mm-hmm.
harder. And, that's the only thing I could think of right
work
now.
Hard. Hard work. Well, it do pay off. That's why we here where we are right now. So that's what's up. So we're down to our final question. And usually my co-host, this is his favorite question. He's not here right now, so I get to do it. So, and we asked this.
That one was not hard. Nah. That one was hard.
But we asked this to everybody. This is our just one question that we asked to everybody.
Okay.
So if you were the all-powerful, it's probably a little hard. So if you were the all-powerful ruler of black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
The all-powerful ruler of black America?
Black America, you at the top. You got
okay. So I can just say all the black people do one thing.
Yep.
Ooh, I would just say unite.
Yes.
And support each other, let's not feel like we have to be crabs in a barrel and
mm-hmm.
pull each other down, because so many other races and nationalities, they know how to work together, and
right.
that's one thing that, I want to see us continue to improve on, and to educate each other
mm-hmm.
and share our resources. That's so important.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We'll definitely appreciate that, because, like I say, I love that question because everybody has a different answer. Believe it or not, we've gotten hundreds of different answers to that. So that's, one of my favorite questions.
Oh, I think I got another answer for the 10-year-old girl.
Okay.
To know that, black people, we are it. We are the culture.
Yes.
We set the trend
yes.
and the standard. And I'm still just now, getting that, a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I should have, never, feel like you need to be somebody or something else.
Right. But that's what makes what you do so powerful, because we're not only creating the culture, but we're owning the culture,
because
mm-hmm. a lot of times we have it, but we don't own it.
Right.
So Novus Rex is a part of the ownership of the culture and the style and the cool that we create.
Right.
So definitely my hat off to you for everything that you bring to the table as a black woman and as an entrepreneur. Because I think I wouldn't mind my daughter looking up to you. If I had a daughter, I wouldn't mind her looking up to you, because I wouldn't worry about her learning nothing crazy or seeing something that I probably wouldn't approve of. But I think you set a great example for black women and young women who will come behind you to follow your footsteps, or anybody who would look up to you, because you do a good job of representing yourself, your family, and everything that you believe in.
Well, thank you. I feel like I got a mighty long way to go, but I appreciate the small celebration.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, what's your website? What's your social media? How can people get in touch with you? Somebody need to get styled. How can they get in contact?
Well, definitely I want them to go search and join the Chaotically Chic Facebook group. And you can also find me at Chelsea Collins on Facebook and Instagram. And Chelsea is spelled a little bit differently.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a million birds.
It's C-H-E-L-S-E Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. And, yep, follow me. You can DM me if you have any questions on fashion, if you want to book a consultation, whatever the case may be.
Men and women. She's doing it big, so you might as well go ahead and get in because she's going to be booked up in a minute, so don't say I didn't warn you. Yes, ma'am. So, once again, thank you for coming on the Freedom Train. Like I said, we always like to extend our platform to people who we know in the community, and I feel like you're an asset to this community. So I want to make sure everybody put their hands together, give you a round of applause for being the wonderful person that you are. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I had so much fun, and thanks for asking me to come on.
No problem. And definitely look forward to having you on in the future.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. She is Chelsea Collins. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series, and we'll see y'all next time. Throwing like the music in the beginning thing.
Oh, okay.
And try to put some credits in it.
You need a if you do, you need like a Freedom Train.
Yeah.
Backdrop next time.
Yeah, we need.